Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord and thank you. Please be seated. Well, good morning, church. How's everybody doing this morning? Pray that you're blessed. Praise God for that. On behalf of Pastor J.D. Farag, we want to welcome you here to Calvary Kaneohe. For those of you joining us online, we welcome you as well. And if we have any visitors here, we welcome you especially and pray that you've been bombarded by the love that you should receive here by your brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, so I do want to remind everyone about our next prayer meeting. It will be January the 6th at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. That'll be our first prayer meeting of 2026. So if you're able to come out and join us for corporate prayer, please do so. And if not, like I always say, pray. We need to continuously be in prayer, continuously be in communion with the true and living God. That is a safe place to be. That is the right place to be. And I would encourage you to do so more often. And if you think you've done it enough, keep doing it. Because we can never be, you heard that term, I'm all prayed up? Heard people say that? I'm prayed up. Really? Yes, you're prayed up, huh? Nothing left to do. That's a problem. I understand the intent behind it, but no, let's not go there. Nope. No, you're never prayed up. Okay? We need to stay in prayer. All right? So let's stay up. Okay, on Sunday, Happy New Year. Forgot about this one. It's coming up. We won't see each other again until mostly the new year. So enjoy your time with family and friends. As I mentioned, first service, Hawaii is very unique on the New Year's and other days of the week that don't make any sense when you hear all the banging and all the, you know what I'm saying? My goodness. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens this year. Unfortunately, last year was bad, right? Did somebody get killed? Three people died, right? More than that, yeah? But at least three in IA, I believe, from that fire. This guy had, cannons worth of gunpowder in his garage, and the whole thing blew up. Something like that. So sad. So please, if you're into all of those things, be careful and enjoy, though. And also, there's no Thursday study this week. I forgot to mention that first service, but if they show up, no more. Praise God, you know. They're like really motivated. That's a good thing. That is a good thing. But no service this coming Thursday as well. We look forward to seeing everyone after the new year. So on Sundays, we have two services. This is our second service. And for our second service this morning, I would have you meet me in the book of Romans, actually. But chapter 13, we'll begin at verse 11 and read down to verse 14. I will also ask all who are able to stand to do so for the reading of the word of God this morning, followed by a word of prayer. Book of Romans, chapter 13. Verse 11. And the word of God reads, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." All right. So why don't we pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our teaching this morning? So please join me. Loving Heavenly Father, God Almighty, we come to you with bowed hearts, postured and positioned, ready to hear your word of truth. We ask that you would go before us and remove anything that would get in the way of you teaching us, so that we can fully absorb your word as sponges, ready to hear it because we know that it is alive and active, and we pray that it will activate in our lives. So Lord, as we come upon a new year, would you renew our understanding? Give us a new thing so that we can learn and worship you even more. So we thank you for that which you are about to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, the Christ, we do pray. Amen. All right, praise the Lord, and please be seated. So our teaching for our second service this morning is titled, Renewed Awakening. And as you can see, we're actually back in the book of Romans, but for a different reason. And our text today is one of an often studied selection that fits within the New Year theme, so to speak. And it really spoke to me after I had some idea on an aspect of where I hope the Lord was going to take us. So, as my devotional time began, these passages just leaped off the pages and it became a no-brainer for what we're going to discuss today. And sort of like in first service, there is no need for us to do an introduction to this letter, or there's no need for us to even be brought up to speed within the context of where we are in this letter. Nope. So we're just going to dive right in once we get into the text. But before we begin, I want to talk about the title that I chose because I wanted to make a pointed statement. Obviously, the New Year's at hand. We should look forward to new things. And one of the things that I want to prioritize for us today is for us to have a renewed awakening as it pertains to all of the things dealing with God. No matter how seasoned that we think we are, we all need a renewal. And I pray that's what we seek often to do, as if our spiritual lives are dependent upon it, because they are. And the goal for us today is to be more than challenged by the Word of God. It's often said that there is a time and place for everything. And this is the time and place for us to get focused about what God has for us. So, like the Word of God says, let us gird up the loins of our minds and prepare to get busy about the things of God this coming year, starting today. And with the Lord's blessing, we are going to simply expound on these verses, allowing the Lord to have his way with us by looking into the importance of the time we spend in our lives, what it means to be awake, briefly review the doctrine of immanence, look at some details regarding light and darkness, go over some tools that we can obtain and adopt that will help us grow and walk in the Spirit, and all in the hopes that we are re-energized and our souls are fully awake, that we just get up and put on the love of Christ in a new way. And with that said, verse 11 of our text, as the Word of God reads, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." So we have this verse by the Apostle Paul, and it begins with an interpreter's actionable word placed here. And it actually makes sense to me. And I'm talking now about the word "do." You'll see it slanted or italicized in some of your Bibles. And we all know that the word "do" is a verb. And in essence, if we look at it in this way, we can consider what's being said here a major command to us as Christians. But the exact translation is "and this," without the word "do." And I just want to make a point of that. But it does connect the previous verses that speak about loving one another and then ties it into this as well as what is about to be said. So for us, we are going to focus on what's about to be said as our actionable item to do and understand. Are you with me, church? And the Apostle Paul doesn't just allude to, or the interpreters tell us to do something without giving us a reason for doing it. And the message that's being portrayed here is a message of urgency. We need to make sure we see that throughout the text that we read this morning. And the reason why we know that this is because we have time associated with what's being said all through here. And time will always be a major factor when it comes to our lives and how we live as Christians. Why? Because we have a job to do that is time sensitive. And we cannot be in our beds on the job. Or better said, we cannot be sleeping on the job. And when it comes to time, I often refer to time as my worst enemy. My enemy. And one of the reasons that I say that is because there is never enough time to get everything done. Not to mention that we all run out of time. We just don't know when. And if we truly think about it, we are all terminal. Do you hear me? We are all terminal. Threatened by time. So for each and every one of us, as soon as we come to Christ, we should know the time. Do you hear me, church? And as the Apostle Paul has it spoken here, that it is now high time. More specifically, time to prioritize. That's what this speaks to. Now, that does not mean we make hasty decisions with our time. It means that we properly invest our time by keeping the things of God as our daily focus regarding time. And many of those things have to be well thought out. And that takes time. But it's time well invested. And God will honor it. Also, when it comes to time, these four verses, like I alluded to, speaks to a time-centered layout that we need to consider. And when we do, we should be able to recognize the following as it pertains to time in these verses. First, we will see that it is time to understand where we are in this critical period of history. And that's captured in verse 11. And if the Apostle Paul thought this about the time period that he was living in, how much more should we? And because of that, we should see, number two here, that it is time to wake up, as shown in verses 11 and 12. Wake up. We hear this term today, woke. They have it wrong. Do you understand? Biblically, we need to wake up. That's the real woke. And thirdly, it is time to put aside the deeds of darkness and to put on the armor of light, as seen in verse 12. And that will usher in the fourth time-driven action, is to behave honorably unto God, as shown in verse 13. And all of that leads to our main objective that goes along with the armor of light, which it is time to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the sinful nature of the flesh, as seen in verse 14. Do we see this, church? All of these should be attached to time. And we should be sensitive to that, knowing the times that we are all living in. And as we circle back to verse 11 of our text, the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit, will tell us to awake out of sleep. This is a call for us as believers to wake up and stop making the fatal mistake of not recognizing the importance of eternal matters. And we know that this is the case because of how this being awakened is connected to our salvation. So it's almost like the Apostle Paul is saying, wake up. Don't you realize that you are saved? So why are you still doing the things that you were doing before you were saved? There's no time for that at all. And our salvation is coming, remember? Why? It's nearer than when we first believed. What salvation? Of course, God taking us out of here. This is why. And by the way, we're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for all the things we have done with this amazing grace that has been bestowed upon all of us. And take notice of the words. Our salvation is nearer. Now, in this context, it's speaking in the future tense. And we've talked about that before. Remember? So again, when the Apostle Paul is speaking this, he is expressing the doctrine of imminence. So he was not talking about getting saved. He was talking to believers already saved. And he was not talking about the second coming of Christ. He is talking about the rapture of the church. This is what this speaks to. And this is why time is even more critical for the believer. Think about it. We have to deal with the terminal factor, right? As well as the rapture factor. Are you tracking with me? And he knew, as well as all of us should know, that the rapture could happen at any time because there's no specific prophecy attached to the rapture at all. None. And we could tell by his writings that Paul believed that it was going to happen in his lifetime. And even when he would come to realize that he was at the end of his race, he would never talk to believers in a way for us to relinquish the understanding to always be at the ready for the Lord coming for his church. Are you hearing me? It's not like he came to the end of his race and said, hey, you know, guys, don't worry about this imminence thing. Yeah, I guess I was mistaken. No, there's no mistaking in the word of God. He had the proper attitude according to the Spirit of God. And we should as well. We still live under the doctrine of imminence, no matter how long it is until the rapture comes. Do you hear me, church? If we relinquish that, we will stifle our walk in so many ways. Not to mention, from my perspective, we're going against the word of God. Now, on that note, let's not be ignorant about the need to be prudent while we all wait on the Lord to come. Do you hear me? We still have to prepare for the future. And we cannot use the doctrine of imminence as a means of being irresponsible. If you are setting dates, not paying your bills, quitting your job, and making unreasonable plans, not having the necessary provisions, You are being irresponsible and acting in an unbiblical way. That is not what we are supposed to do. And if that's what we're doing, this is another form of being asleep, by the way. And being ignorant. Not knowing how to hold on loosely while not losing grip on reality. All of us should be yearning for the Lord to come and pray that he comes in any second. But if we are not operating with wisdom, we are fools. And that means we are always supposed to be awake in the Lord, active in his works, walking with a purpose in all of his wisdom. And we see this truth captured in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. The word of God reads, therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And again, let's not forget that the Apostle Paul is addressing believers here, just like in our text in Romans. So being asleep in Christ is being spiritually useless. This is the condition of people who are not woke up to the reality of where we're living in, the times we're living in. Punished by their own ignorance or unwillingness to heed the word of God. And anyone that lives like this are still saved, but their spiritual life is dead. Why? Because they forfeit the wisdom of the Lord. So instead of walking circumspectly or being vigilant about the things of God, we walk around as fools. Especially if we live in the extremes. You know what I'm talking about? Like, on the one hand, thinking that we have all of the time in the world, so everything can wait until tomorrow. Or on the other hand, thinking that the rapture's about to happen in 2 seconds, so we do nothing today. Are we tracking? This is not being awake in Christ. Not to mention that we are told to redeem the time. Do we see that? That means properly invest our time. But when we live in the extremes, this is what too often happens. Because again, we remain ignorant from the truth of God's word, sleeping instead of being awake and investing. And before we move on, let's consider how we invest God's time. Because in all actuality, every moment of our lives is given by the true and living God. He is the owner of time, the author of time, and the giver of time. And it's safe to say that each and every one of us are on borrowed time. And with God as the lender, he could rightly ask us, what is his return on his investment in each of us? Right? Now, we have a most gracious God, but it's a question that I believe would at least get us to think about time in such a way that keeps us recognizing how gracious our God is. So let's ask ourselves a few questions as it pertains to time. And the first one is, How much time do I invest in prayer daily? How much time do I invest in the Word of God weekly? How much time do I invest praising and worshiping the Lord? How much time do I invest in doing godly things as a family? How much time do I invest in the people of God? And how much time do I invest in the kingdom of God to come? Each one of these are a personal charge for all of us. And they're there so we can infuse them in our lives somehow. And that will be different for each and every one of us as well. But it is a part of our renewed awakening that should apply to each and every one of us and be implemented ASAP. We need to think about these things. And if we think that we have been doing all of these, then we need to increase investing. Increase that investment. Because it is high time, and this should be our priority as time draws near. Verse 12 of our text, the Word of God reads, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Now, this is one of those verses that are very critical for us to understand. It reads straightforward. However, there's a nuance in there that I want to expose and make sure that we're aware of. Because what often happens when we begin to read into the text things that are not there, we get it confused. And it happens in this verse often. And what I'm talking about is the contrast between night and day, or day and night, as well as the use of light and darkness in the contrast thereof. Now, sometimes they are used in concert with one another, such as light meaning day and night meaning darkness. And other times, night and day are used to reference a time period. Are you with me so far? And as we see here, we have all four of these captured in this one verse. And in order to make sure that we get it right, we need to pay attention to how the verse is constructed. So here the Apostle Paul begins by saying, "The night is far spent." Do we see that? And like we saw on that chart that I put up in regards to time earlier, the night being far spent has to deal with a time frame. We tracking so far? And this will come back. We'll see it. So just stay with me. Because the Apostle Paul is getting at a point. So in other words, this time frame of night that Paul is speaking about, he's describing it as having been around for a time period. Follow me? The night is far spent. It's been around for a while. And guess what? The night that he was speaking of, we are still living in today. But the day is at hand. And that day has to be dealing with the church. This is what it speaks to. Once again, he's referencing the rapture. This is what he's speaking about. And this is why we have this imminent tone that continues to be used throughout. This far spent night is speaking about the church age of grace, where again, too many are asleep at the wheel or asleep on the job. This is what's being communicated. Not to mention that we are limited on what kinds of works that we can be doing during this season. This season has been around since the Lord established the church. This is what we're living in. So we have many good works that have been conducted throughout the church age. But notice that many of those wonders by the Holy Spirit have also ceased. And they continue as well. Are you hearing me, church? It'll come together because we have an example of this day and night concept as it pertains to a period of time and a specific ministry that's given to us by Jesus himself. And we see this captured in the book of John in chapter 9 and verse 4. Listen to the Lord. The word of God reads, Jesus speaking, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Do we see this? And I wish we had a lot of time to get into all of this, but what Jesus is speaking about is that once his ministry is complete, the works that he was doing pertaining to having the children of Israel accept him as their king and repent, the gospel of the kingdom message would no longer be the works that would be carried out. Do you hear me? The gospel message would be expanded to all peoples by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Until that day comes when the church has been removed. And then the gospel of the kingdom will be re-preached for the salvation of the Jewish nation as well as a witness to the whole earth. Are we tracking, church? The point here in verse 12 of Romans that we have is to show that night and day that's being used here is referencing a time, and not only that, a time period specifically. So it's not infused with light and darkness like we see throughout the scriptures elsewhere, because it is. But we need to make sure that when we see it, we make that distinction so we're not adding something that will take away from something down the line. Now, knowing this helps us out when we get to the therefore. See that? Understanding is referencing time. Now we get to the therefore that comes after, because it places an emphasis properly on the need to quickly do what follows. Are you tracking with me? Cast off and put on quickly, as well as the primary purpose of doing it in the first place. So now we have everything in the proper context, in the proper order, in the proper urgency, so we don't get lost thinking that, oh, I'm to put off this and take my time and do this because, you know, the day is dark and the light is this. You follow what I'm saying? It's a time period, which is short. We need to do it now. All of it's associated with readying ourselves for the works of the Lord. This is what this speaks to. In other words, the casting off and putting on are not for our self-preservation. This is so that we can represent the Lord as we battle day by day in order to further the kingdom to come. Are we seeing this? Because when you look at it the other sense, oh, I need to put on this and put on that, and you do what with it? Are you following me? We leave the actionable pieces out. It needs to be done now for the purpose of representing God and doing the works of the Lord that he calls upon his people. So, we should recognize that the opportunities to get people to Christ under this age of grace is shrinking. Not to mention the opportunity that we have to store up treasures in heaven by doing those good works in the name of the Lord. Now, it should go without saying that each of us have the action to cast off as well as to put on. That's individual. Do we understand this? All of this is of our doing. And we're going to tie this concept in when we close. So we'll come back to that point. But the main point here is to show that we have an action and that we must be awake in order to perform it properly. And that's what we need to be focused on. Now, when it comes to light and darkness, we know the Word of God has a lot to say about it. And He does so in various ways, just like with many things. And we need to be aware of it. But the primary lesson that I think we should focus on right now is how the light of God, who is God, because God is light, and how it applies to us as believers. How does this apply? And the first way that it does is that it places us positionally sanctified by the Lord. As soon as we are saved, this is part of our positional status. We are children of light. And we see this truth captured in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. The Word of God reads, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day," what day is he speaking about? "The rapture, should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." We see in these verses, we have all of those elements that I talked about earlier being used right here, but a little bit different. You see the light, the darkness, day and the night, as well as sleep and being awake, watching. And in verse 5 is where we see that we are all sons of light, meaning sons of God. So we will never lose that position. Are we tracking? That's positional. It will never go away. But we can remove ourselves from His light and live in the darkness as Christians, fast asleep, not watching for anything. Being of the light by being in Christ is not the same thing as being a light by representing Christ. Do we understand that? And I think we have drilled this point home over the last few months. But even so, let's allow the scriptures to show all truth, with this aspect captured here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. The Word of God reads, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world, in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Very well-known passage. And we see here in verse 8, we were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Positional. Do we see that? That's our position in Christ. And then we are told, walk as children of light. That's different. This is an actionable item, something that we have to do. We must do this. Walk as children of light. We're also told to have no fellowship with the works of darkness. Think about that. No fellowship means no fellowship. Because having fellowship with darkness puts us to sleep, as well as extinguishes our light. We can't walk in the light. And if we're going to approach this new year with any hope of being victorious and having a renewed awakening of any sorts, we cannot afford to compromise ourselves in any way when it comes to having fellowship with darkness. It is time to expose all of the darkness in our lives. Not anyone else's first, ours. This is what we need to do. And then hack it to pieces. We need to make our positions as sons of light a permanent exercise as we walk as children of light. That should be our calling. And I know earlier that we went over some questions in regard to how we're investing our time towards God. But now what I want to do is present several tools that we can use as it pertains to studying the Word of God as children of light. And we can all tailor this and make it our own, of course. It's all about enhancing our walk. And we need to do so with a renewed sense of purpose based on this renewed awakening that we should have. So just bear with me as we go through these. Now, don't forget, my focus here is about reading and studying the Word of God as individuals, by the way. So this is not groupthink. This is each of us as individuals. These are tools and tactics that we can use to aid our walk. All right. And for that, I'm going to discuss 8 of these. Why? I don't know. The number 8 sounds good. New beginnings. But I pray that it will help us advance our walk in the Lord. All right. What am I here? Oh, I know what I wanted to say. Before we do this and go into this list, I know there's people out there that think about their jobs and career paths and fields they're in, and they're always busy. Doc is one of them. You know, just busy, 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 busy. But if Doc can do this, right? Are you following me? Huh? Yeah. That's putting everybody else on report. So let's not say I'm just super, uber, duper busy. Okay. We'll leave that between you and the Lord, but I'm just saying. I have a witness over here. Not to point you out, Doc, but I do. All right. So let's check out this first one. And we talked about this before. And that's downloading the free Bible app. Do you hear me, church? There are a lot of Bible apps available. YouVersion is the one that I think is one of the best free ones. It's a very good option. Guess what it will do for you? It will read to you. So don't say you can't read. Don't matter. Just have it read to you. I don't like all the words. So many different versions that you can switch back and forth from. Are you following me? This is an excellent tool and an excellent tactic to use, especially when you want to get through a portion of scripture that does have a lot of those words that we don't know how to pronounce. I know for me, when I get the Chronicles, YouVersion, all of them names, Zechariah Tahiya. But it helps you out in your Hebrew. All right, the next thing that we want to do is to start a 1-year Bible reading plan. I believe the apps will do that as well. But if not, I'm sure that you can find one on the internet. There's also Bibles that are designed for that, that you can buy off Amazon. They already have it mapped out for you. And they're not that expensive. So If you go to the movie theater and watch one movie and get the smallest container of popcorn on earth, you have already bought one of these things. Huh? You follow me? And don't say you haven't. I hear you talking upstairs. Hey, did you see that movie yesterday? I saw it, girl, with that. Where's your chronological Bible thing or whatever you can use for your study, right? Again, you get the point, right? This is a must-do if we want to get into the things of God deeply. Just go through it in a year. That doesn't mean you have to stop and get stuck. Just go through it. Roll through it. Right? Then, of course, we have reading a chapter of the Proverbs each and every day. We talk about this a lot, right? We have 31 days in most months, and the days that have 30, you just read two chapters on the last day of the month. Each day. You know how long it takes to have a chapter read to you, the longest one in Proverbs, read to you by the Bible app on normal speed? Do you know how long? That's 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Are you following me? Who does not have 3 minutes? Hey, I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. This is for me too. I'm not exempt from any of this. All right. The next thing that I suggest is that you conduct an overview in studying one book of the Bible. And here I have also using a chronological Bible that can be used for your one-year Bible study as well. Just an overview. Again, this is not a sitting down detail, writing every note, and that's not what this is. An overview of one book of the Bible. Have it in your mind, in your arsenal, so you can have an understanding when we sit under the teaching of God's word, some of the context behind it. This really works. It helps us out. So we're not sitting there just totally lost. You know, I'd rather be a little lost than totally lost. You follow me? But this has done wonders for me, and I recommend it for all of us. We also need to meditate on one verse of the Bible each day. Typically for me, that comes from the Proverbs. One verse. Meditate on it. Are we tracking? Meditate. You take that verse and you just meditate on it. What? How is it speaking to me? What is it really saying? And you really just lean on that verse. It really makes a difference over the course of time. What usually happens is that during the course of the day, events will take place where you can reference that verse, whether in act or just saying it. And you're like, oh, I can't believe how many times I used this today. Praise God for that. Along with that, I would recommend memorizing one verse per week. This is my failure. I admit it. Yeah? Hey, I'm being transparent. Oh, it's hard. It really is. It's a challenge, but a good challenge. But I did remember one last week. Jesus wept. No, I'm just kidding. But this is great, though. If you can pull it off, really do it. It starts to sink into your mind, and you're just hearing this over and over again because you're repeating it every day. And not only that, you start to get a better understanding of what that verse means and the context of where it lies out at. Man, I'm just telling you, it's worth the challenge. So I would encourage you to do so. All right, and this last one, this one could be a bit of a steep investment depending on what kind of software you plan on getting. Okay, so I do encourage, if you're able, to try to find some Bible software that can help you out during your studies, and it can build Bible plans for you, reading plans. It can do whatever you are willing to invest in it to do. But listen to me, before you decide to invest in any Bible software, get the free trial and make sure you cancel it before the trial ends, right? But get the free trial, call the service department, and see if you can navigate this thing. Because some of these take a brain surgeon to operate. I mean, they can get really technical. Not saying that they're bad, but they can get that. I've had experiences where I've lost my sanctification on Bible software. And sadly, I called the service department, and I'm so thankful they didn't know I was a pastor. I was angry. I mean, as soon as I learned the program, they changed it. And I called them and said, hey, I can't find these references. Oh, yeah, we changed the program. Well, who gave you permission to do that? The lady was so nice to me. She walked me through the new process, and I canceled it because I couldn't figure it out. So again, make sure that you can you know what you're getting into with this Bible software. I listed three up there that I am familiar with. There's many more that are coming on the market, that are on the market, that are coming up to speed. And again, but if you can and you have the time to invest in learning this stuff, it's a good tool. So yeah, are we tracking, church? All right, I hope something on this list helps you out. Because I'm not hiding anything from you. This is tools that I've utilized and continue to use. And again, I pray that something to help you out. All right, verse 13 of our text. We need to get moving. What? Oh, I missed it. Oh, that's right. I missed it. Bathe in the Word. I'm so sorry. Yes, the Bible app I was speaking of earlier. When you go to sleep, for those of you that can sleep with reading material or something, talking in the background, do it with the Bible app. Are you hearing me? Instead of going to bed with whatever that show is you watch it at night, put the Bible app on and bathe in the Word of God. I'm glad you reminded me. Thank you, Laura. Yes, that's critical. That's really important. We have that? Are we feeling it? Okay, now I think we're good to go. Verse 13 of our text, the Word of God reads, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry. You knew that was going to be a problem for me. Revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Okay, now we have seen most of this, if not all of it, in the recent past. So we're not going to beat a dead horse in regards to these. But there's one thing that I do want to point out in regards to this list. And that is, we have a total of 6 vices captured here. And we should know that the number 6 is associated with what? Man. And for those of you that don't know where we get that from, it's from the 6th day of creation. Man was created. The number 6 is associated with man. And what this list speaks to is exactly what man has become in general, absent the Spirit of God. In other words, all 6 of these vices come from the self-will of man. And they are all aspects of darkness. Do we see this? And in order to walk properly as in the day, we must walk according to the will of God, who will keep us in the light. Do we see this? I hope we do. Because now we get to our final verse of our text, verse 14. As the Word of God reads, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Now, when the Apostle Paul says to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, this is synonymous with putting on the armor of light, which is also synonymous with putting on the armor of God. Do you hear me, church? And we know that light cannot coexist with darkness. So, if we have on the armor of light, the armor of God, there is no way that we would ever make provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Are we following? Think about it. Light and darkness cannot coexist. So we have nothing to worry about if we are adorned with Christ Jesus. The question is, how do we put on Christ? I'll go through it. First, by being awake and being in praises towards Him, so that we can constantly see Him in and through His Word, and from that have our minds consistently renewed in order to fully conform to His image. Do we see that? The armor of light, the armor of God. How do we get there? Because He is salvation, is He not? He is righteousness, is He not? He is the gospel, is He not? He is faithful, is He not? He is the living word, is He not? The very sword of the Spirit, He is the truth, is He not? And it has been rightly said that we become what we worship. Do you hear me, church? So let's worship Christ with a renewed outlook and a renewed love for the things of God. Let's take His word seriously in our renewed awakening, praying that all we do will represent Him, will be a reflection of Him, as we also obtain a renewed hope. But for those who do not know the Lord, your hope is non-existent because you have never been awakened by the hope in Christ. And time may not be on your side. You may not have the time to wait another second. And as you sit around guessing what's going to happen to you when you die, that is a risk you should not take, because too much is at stake. And trying to convince yourself that this is it, once I die, this is not it. There's more to life than what you think. It's captured in the Word of God. And the Word of God provides a picture of what's to come. And that could be either exciting for us or terrifying. And that all depends on where you are with the Lord. And when we look around, you can see how broken this world is and how it's full of evil. And when we look at ourselves, we can see that we are evil. And that's because of sin. And since sin separates us from God, we have a major problem. But God has made a way to resolve that problem. But we have to be willing to accept it. Because if we don't and decide to remain in this state of sinfulness, we run the risk of dying in our sins. And sin is the death penalty that leads to eternal destruction. And only by believing in Jesus are our sins forgiven that gives us eternal life. So once again, I urge you to choose Jesus today and be saved today by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And it is ABC simple to be saved by first acknowledging that you are a sinner and in need of a savior. And that savior is none other than Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one comes to the Father except through Christ. No one gets into the kingdom except through Christ. And as shown in chapter 6 and verse 23, the Bible says that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That represents the A, and the B stands for believe, while the C stands for confess with your mouth. Both are captured in the book of Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. The word of God reads that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Once again, this is just a most simple way to get rid of sin and deal with that sin problem that's causing us to be separated from God. Because God wants us reconciled to him because he loves us. His word specifically says, 2 Peter in chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I truly pray that you have made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior today. And now that you have been made new in Christ, with your new joy, you can go out and have other people be awakened by your presence. Why don't we stand and pray? Father in heaven, we thank you once again for what you're so faithful in doing in accordance with your word. I pray that you would just take this message and do as you will in each of our lives uniquely, so that we can be best utilized for the furtherance of your kingdom to come. We love you and we praise you. And we ask that as the new year approaches, we would have a renewed awakening. All for the things that pertain to you, and all for your glory and to honor you. So Lord, thank you in advance for that which you will do in and through our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, the Christ, we do pray. Amen.